Hey, what's up, Cub fans? Welcome to episode 89 of Locked On Cubs, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, Ryan Davis, of The Sporting News, The Athletic, Bet Chicago, Cubs Insider, and the Cloud City Chronicle. I'm coming to you with this Friday kind of mailbag podcast. It really had to be filled out with questions, which mostly came from Twitter. I appreciate you guys reaching out. Some of it's Cubs related. I think there's one or two that's not, but it's baseball related. We'll talk about the Brewers using a shift on Zobrist and why that was. And in segment one, segment two, we'll talk a little bit about the Aroldis Chapman trade, because that's become a hot topic on Twitter once again. And then in the final segment, I'll do my usual around the NL Central, but I'll also answer a couple questions there, because that around the NL Central isn't really there's not really a thing today, because the Cubs and the rest of the NL Central did not play yesterday. All right, before we get to questions, let's go ahead and look ahead to tonight's game. The Cubs are in St. Louis to take on the Cardinals, and the game is going to be a 7:15 p.m. Central time, and it'll be on ABC7. John Lester will take the mound against Michael Wacha, and both guys have been pretty good lately. In Lester's last four starts, he has gone seven innings three times and has allowed just five earned runs in 27 total innings. Wacha has a 1.62 ERA over his last seven starts, but something has to give here, right? Because in his last five career starts against the Cubs, he has a 6.59 ERA in 27 and a third innings. For some reason, the Cubs just tee off Wacha most of the time. So that's it for tonight's game. Let's go ahead and go to questions. First one comes from Dan Shade, and he asks, why did the Brewers use an extreme shift on Zobrist? Is he pulling the ball more this year? I feel like he's the last player I'd shift on. So this is really interesting, and it's something I didn't even notice when I was watching the game. And he pointed out in a follow-up that he's specifically talking about the fifth inning when Zobrist took a walk against Julius Chacin. And so I looked up the numbers, and it's actually really interesting. You would think that it wouldn't make sense, since Zobrist isn't known as a guy who hits to all fields. But looking at Fangraphs, against right-handed pitchers like Julius Chacin, Zobrist hits fly balls to all fields, but is a major pull guy on ground balls. In fact, the vast majority go to the right side, which is his pull field, while only sparse grounders go to the shortstop area of the infield, and he's actually had zero ground balls to third base as a left-handed hitter this year. So when you add in the fact that Chacin is a career ground ball rate guy of 48%, you kind of have your answer. The statistics say that if Zobrist hits it on the ground against Chacin, which likely he's going to, he's going to pull it into the shift. I think Chacin has a fly ball rate under 30%, so likely he's either going to strike out or he's going to ground it into the shift. So, of course, he walked on four pitches, which brings us to a completely different argument about whether shifts work. I think it's Russell Carlton who wrote a baseball prospectus about it. I apologize if it was somebody else and I got it wrong, but the research, I believe, and I read this, I think it was a few months ago, whether intentionally or not, pitchers are trying to pitch differently to get batters to hit into the shift when the extreme shift is put out there. And it has, the end result has been more at bats like that, where, you know, maybe Chacin is thinking, I got to throw it in a right spot to get Zobrist to ground it into the shift. And then he ends up throwing him four pitches out of the zone. So, I'm probably dumbing down the research quite a bit on that, and I apologize if I've gotten part of it wrong, because it's been, I think, a few months since I read it, but I think that was the gist of it. All right, segment two. First question comes from DMCC71 on Twitter, and he asks, with the relievers in Iowa being so effective, do you foresee someone like Cishek, for example, going on a mystery DL stint almost as a way to preserve him for later in the season? Yes and no. I don't think, let's use the example of Carl Edwards Jr. He went on the 10-day DL. I think he just kind of had like a twinge in his shoulder or like a little fatigue. And so they DL'd him immediately. And it sounds like he's, you know, going to return pretty quickly from that. And he's, I think they said, going to return like early next week. Not the biggest deal. If it were me, yeah, I would absolutely be putting all these guys on mystery DL stints with things like fatigue or tricep soreness or whatever you want to call it, just, you know, normal in wear and tear injury type stuff, the things that relievers deal with throughout the year. Something that you could get away with, not like, you know, putting a guy on the DL with a hangnail, for example. Yeah, I would be doing that throughout the year to make sure that you can preserve these guys, especially if the Cubs eventually run away with the NL Central, which I don't think they're going to do, at least in the next few months, because I think the Brewers are for real. But I think they'll stick around in that race, and it'll be a tight race over the next few months. And they're not going to be able to just completely tear it down and rest guys constantly to get to the postseason. But I do think, you know, a stint here and there for a guy like Cishek, who's been brought into a ton of games, a guy like Brian Dunsing, who's been brought out of the bullpen quite a bit and is on pace for career highs in appearances, a guy like Brandon Morrow, who has a history of injuries, I think could probably use a DL stint at some point. So yeah, I think that they should be doing that. They should be looking at making sure that they can preserve their bullpen getting into October, because, you know, if you don't get to October, you can't win. But if you get to October and your bullpen is worn out, what happens is what happened last year against the Dodgers, another team that's better with a rested bullpen will come in and just eat you alive. So that's my answer on that one. Billy emails and asks, where do you stand on the sudden debate about the Chapman trade? My thought is flags fly forever, baby. So this has become a popular question over the last, let's say, few months since Gleyber Torres came up with the Yankees. This was something that was always a massive overpay when the Cubs did it. They, Theo Epstein, the front office, traded Torres, Billy McKinney, Adam Warren, and Rashard Crawford to the Yankees in exchange for Chapman. And at the time, I know a lot of fans didn't like it, especially because of Chapman and his history with domestic violence. But I think the general tone of the way Cub fans feel about it is they don't get out of Game 5 of the World Series without Chapman. You can argue a lot of his other contributions throughout the postseason, whether other pitchers could have done what he did and whether he was necessary in certain games, like Game 6, for example, I think is a good example of the Cubs had a decent lead and they brought Chapman out there and kind of used him, and that kind of wore him down to the point where he was very ineffective in Game 7. So part of that can be put on Joe Maddon, the fact that Chapman allowed a home run to Reggie Davis and basically had nothing in Game 7. But when you boil it down, I do believe Chapman really saved the season in Game 5, and that was his contribution to that team. I've seen other people, even smart baseball people, suggest, well, you could have just traded for somebody else. But I feel like that's a straw man argument. Because, I mean, who else was really available that the Cubs wanted? Andrew Miller was available, but the rumor was that the Yankees wanted Schwarber or Baez. And those guys you don't win the World Series without, I don't believe either. So, in short, it was a relief market that was a seller's market. The Yankees had the two biggest assets. They got a huge return for Andrew Miller from the Indians, and Andrew Miller helped pitch the Indians to the World Series and nearly win it. Got all the way to the 10th inning of Game 7 and nearly won the World Series. The Cubs got Chapman, and they gave up a lot, but they won that World Series. So I think the correct answer here is flags fly forever. Whether you truly believe that the Cubs could have done it without Chapman or not, anytime you see Gleyber Torres out there being a stud for the Yankees, you can always remember, but the guy we traded helped us win the World Series and break a 108-year drought. They're never going to have to feel sorry for that. So if I were to say that, you know, I know Mike Petrello on Twitter called this a major heist for the Yankees. Yeah, the Yankees got a lot in that trade. And if you just look at it talent for talent, they absolutely robbed the Cubs blind. There's no getting around that. Torres could be a perennial all-star, but the Cubs won the World Series, and who knows what the Yankees are going to do over the coming years. So I would have to say that this is just a classic win-win. Everybody got what they wanted in the deal. So quickly, I'm going to go around the NL Central, and then I've got two more questions. Everything stayed the same in the standings because no NL Central teams played on Thursday. But looking ahead, the Cubs have their three-game set in St. Louis this weekend. The Pirates host the Reds, and the Brewers host the Phillies. Jake Arrieta will start tonight against Milwaukee, which should be interesting to keep an eye on while the Cubs are playing the Cardinals. This question comes from Mike McElwee, and sorry if I butchered that last name. He says, Jimenez versus Caratini. Caratini is a much better hitter and a versatile bench bat. Jimenez is better at managing pitchers, though. Which would you go with? So I've been pretty on the Jimenez train for most of this year. I don't think you need a guy on the bench who is going to hit 280 with a 360 on base and a 500 slugging as your backup catcher. It's nice if you have that, but and let's just say Caratini has not proven to be that kind of hitter at the big league level yet. He is objectively a better hitter than Chris Jimenez, but the point you make about Jimenez managing pitchers is a good one. I wrote a piece for FanRag Sports this spring when I was down in Florida. I went to Twins camp to talk to several Twins players, including pitchers, about him as a catcher, and it was just great. Like, everyone had amazing things to say about him. If you want to, I can link that in the description so you could go back and read. It's a few months old, but it tells a story about how these players feel about him as what he brings to a team. I even got Joe Mauer to talk about Chris Jimenez as a backup catcher and what he brings to the team. So I feel like if there is one spot on your roster that is reserved for kind of the intangibles guy, it's the backup catcher. And some of it is tangibles, the way, you know, pitch framing and that defensive skills, that kind of stuff is tangible. But a lot of the intangibles, the way that they handle the pitching. And the thing that sticks out to me is in that story, Trevor Hildenberger, who was a rookie with the Twins last year, told me this really great story about how he was out there and he was struggling, or at least he thought he was struggling, or he did his job, but he left runners on base. And when the manager came out to pull him from the game, Jimenez went to the mound and said, man, you throw like 95 with movement. When I die, I want to be reincarnated as you. I mean, just this like story that was like a weird thing to say, but it stuck out in his mind. And he's just like, that was just kind of the guy he was. Like, everything was, you know, everything had a purpose, and he knew how to handle those pitchers and say the right thing at the right time. So that's what I would take with the Jimenez versus Caratini argument. That's why I would prefer to have him on the roster, is be able to handle pitchers like that. I think if Yu Darvish says that this is a guy that he likes to throw to and they have that relationship, I think that's perfectly normal, and that Darvish should be able to throw to him on occasion. The other thing is Wilson Contreras gets into a ton of games, and it would be nice to be able to see him maybe take a game off here and there. I know you lose a lot with the bat, but I'd rather have a guy who's polished handling pitchers than a guy like Caratini, who is kind of more of a prospect and really needs playing time. And that's why they sent him back down to AAA, was because he needed to get more playing time than he was getting in the big leagues. Last question comes from Troy, and he says, thoughts on possible MLB expansion? I just heard about this. Curious to hear opinions. I know that MLB is talking about expansion, and there are a lot of cities that are kind of lined up that want it. I know there's like a group in Portland that's pushing to get a team out there. Montreal would love to have a team back. Charlotte has a group going and pushing for a team there, and Las Vegas has been pushing for a team as well. If it were up to me and expansion were happening, and this is a question I've answered before, I would say Montreal because I'd love to see the Expos return, and I would say Las Vegas because Vegas is one of my favorite cities in the world, and I would love to end up, if my career took me there, I'd love to end up being like a beat writer for let's just say The Athletic or a similar type site for a Vegas team. I think that would be cool. So yeah, that's where my opinion takes me. If you're just asking me what I think about expanding, I think the way things are right now, they would actually be better off contracting a team or two and dispersing the talent. And that might make the game a little bit better. If you add two expansion teams, you're essentially adding two more rebuilding teams to a league that's really top heavy as it is. So that's how I feel about it. If they do expand, those are the cities that I would like, but I'm not in general like a huge fan of expansion. And all right, thanks again for listening, guys. I apologize. I've had a cold the last couple of days and it's kind of hit its apex today. So I'm all drugged up on cold medicine. So thank you for listening. I'll be back again next week, hopefully with good news from the Cubs and the Cardinals in their 3-game set this weekend.